Amen. I would rather have Jesus than anything. This morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42, verse 5, and it'll also be on the screen. I want to begin by reading this morning and talking about, as you turn there, what is hope? What is hope? And being sure of what we hope for. In Psalm chapter 42, in verse 5, it says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Love that passage of scripture right there. And you have the psalmist asking, you know, why are we so downcast and going in and saying that we are to put our hope in God? You hear that a lot. You read that in the scripture. But what does it mean, or what is hope? There are three ways that we use hope in the English world. Hope, and James, if you'll throw them on the screen. Hope is the desire for something good in the future. You use that a lot when you say hope. And for instance, when you say that, the children might say, "I hope Daddy gets home early tonight so that we can play kickball after supper before his meeting." So you're hoping something there in the future. In other words, that those kids are desiring for him to get home early so that they can experience this good thing, namely playing together after supper. So that hope is the desire for something good in the future. Anybody got that kind of hope? Do you have a desire for something good in the future? All right. Second way we use that is hope is the good thing in the future that we are desiring. Sounds kind of confusing. But we say our hope, for instance, we'll say our hope is that Bob will arrive safely. In other words, Bob's safe arrival is the object of our hope. So hope is the good thing in the future. You say, well, I really hope that Corey ends early today so I can get to lunch. Okay? Hope is that future thing that you're desiring. We will see if your hope was sure today or not. The third way we use hope is hope is the reason why our hope might indeed come to pass. And in that, you know, you may say, if I can get all green lights on the way home, we may be able to arrive on time. Or if I can get all green lights on the way to the Cracker Barrel, we may be able to get there and beat everybody else that's getting out of church at about 12 o'clock. And so the hope is the reason why your hope might come to pass, all of those green lights. So when you look at how we use hope, though, all three of those usages of hope can be found in the Bible. However, there is a distinct definition or distinct usage of hope that only really is found in the scripture, and it is not either one of those three. The reason is because ordinarily we use hope, and when we use that, we use it to express uncertainty rather than certainty. All of those things was a desire. You said, "I hope that this is going to happen. I hope that I'm able to get this done. I hope that we hope that Joseph may go next week and get a very good report." You know, Durley may have hoped God going to be doing something in our life. And in church, we do those things. Go back to the number one there for me, James, on that hope. This is the biggest thing. Hope is the desire for something good in the future. But see, that's just a desire. And I'm asking you this morning, is that all we have? Is just simply this desire. We really hope it happens. When you say that I hope that Jesus is going to come and receive us, is that just a desire that you have, or is that going to happen? So see, what I'm talking about, we need to, when the Bible is going to be talking to us about this hope in our salvation, this hope in Jesus Christ, it is much more than just a desire for that to happen, where there is a certainty in the hope that the Bible is teaching us. And for instance, when we use hope in those three scenarios I gave you, you may say, I hope that Dad gets home early. But see, that means that you don't have any certainty that Dad will get home on time. You only have a desire for that to happen. Now I hope we have a little bit of hope in Jesus Christ that's different than that kind of hope. If you're talking about, you know, whether somebody's going to go home safely, you don't know if Bob, in my example, will or not, but that's your desire. And you say, well, I hope you make it home safe today. You don't really know if that's going to happen. So this morning, I want us to look at biblical hope, and we're going to go through several verses of Scripture here. And if you'll go ahead and turn with me in Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to first look at about the first 9 through 12 there in Hebrews chapter 6. I know when you said it yesterday, very, very few verses that you all read in Earl's Sunday School class this morning, but in Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 9, go through the 12th verse. It says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Excuse me, I am in the wrong thing. I knew somebody was fixing to call me John. I'm in the sixth verse, but I wasn't in the right book. Hebrews 6, I knew it didn't look right. Even though we speak like this, I was testing you. Very good. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him as you have helped him, his people, and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, when you look right there in verse 11, and it says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Some versions may say the assurance of hope. What does that mean? That's where I want you to be thinking about that today. What does it mean to have an assurance of hope? Because we really have no concept of this outside of the Bible and how we think of hope and how we think of it's just our desire. This hope and being sure of this hope is something that God wants us to really pay a lot of attention to. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, we see the author of Hebrews using the same assurance Greek word that is in there, but he's using it of a different word in verse 22. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to the cleansing us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. On one hand, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 there, you've got having assurance of your hope. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, you have full assurance of your faith. And you ask, well, why? Why in the world do we talk about faith and hope? I thought this message was about hope. It is about hope. And you can't have hope without faith and faith without hope. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith, the definition of faith, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There are many, many people in this room this morning who you need some hope, because I need some hope. We're going through things. Miss Wilma needs some hope. different people that come down to this altar. We need some hope out there, because you are going through something this morning. There's many people that don't come down to an altar, don't write anything on a prayer card, but you're dealing with something in your life this morning. And you hope that you get good reports, and we hope that the doctor's going to say this, and we pray about those things, and you tell it to your Christian brothers and friends, and you put yourself on the prayer list, and you walk around with a hope. But see, if you will combine that hope with the faith that is necessary, then what you get is you get assurance of what you're hoping for. And now this is specifically talking about our hope in Jesus Christ and our salvation. So you don't just have to walk around. And in the Sunday school class this morning, I was talking about salvation and how we can have assurance of our salvation. You don't have to say, well, I hope I'm saved. I hope. I hear people say that, though. If that is your stance this morning, that's a sad place to be in now, because you can be sure. You can be 100% sure if you are saved. That shouldn't be something that you hope about. Well, I mean, you know, you get to your dying bed and you're about to breathe your last breath and you don't have confidence that you're saved. The Bible tells us over and over again that we can be sure of what we hope for. What were they talking about specifically in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11? Talking about assurance of heaven. I can be sure of that today. I know what God has done. And if you turn to Romans chapter 4, where I got mixed up a while ago. Romans chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 24. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, listen to that now, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Now, I want you to get this morning. It says in Hebrews, right, Hebrews, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, because he had this hope that this was going to happen, that God was not going to forsake on the promise that he had. And you have to have hope in hope. You have to have that. But I love where he goes down through here. And Abraham, think about all that Abraham went through. Abraham is going up there knowing that God has told him he's got to sacrifice this only son that he promised him with right here, that he had faith believing, that even though his wife's womb, you know, was dead, as my Bible described it right there, that God had told him he was going to have a child, and he did have that child. And then God tells him, well, now you've got to sacrifice him. And so Abraham and takes Isaac up there, and he's got him down on the altar of sacrifice, and he raises up the dagger, and all the time Abraham is hoping that God is going to send another sacrifice. But he never wavered in his faith. He didn't. I don't know that Abraham went up there like, I just don't know if I want to do this, Lord. He may have, but he went all the way to raising the dagger to bring it down into stabbing Isaac before he heard the animal in the woods over there. And I'm asking you something right now. And when you are being faced with the situations in your life, do you have that same type of faith? That it doesn't matter what it looks like. Abraham was about to kill his only legitimate son with Sarah that it took him 100 years to get, and that God had delivered him from, God had given Isaac to them, and he was still going to go through and kill him, no matter what it looked like in this world. It didn't look like it made sense. Did that make sense, what God was doing? I think as a human being, we would look and go, wait a minute, this doesn't make a bit of sense what God is asking for us to do. The situation that I'm in right now isn't humanly right. I don't deserve, Abraham could have thought, to have to go and kill this son that I went so long to get, waited so long, went through all of this prayer and agony to get. But here I'm in this situation, and Abraham found himself here. And do you find yourself sometimes in those impossible situations in life? However, do you have the same amount of faith that Abraham had right there? Can you be sure that God is going to do what he promised? And I want to ask you a question. As you look in verse 21, throw 21 up there for me, James. I want you to meditate on this verse of scripture. See, the reason that Abraham did not waver through unbelief in verse 20, he was strengthened to the fact and being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. In Matthew, God tells us that he's going to take care of his children. He says that how much more, if he will feed the birds of the air, he said, how much more will I feed my children? He said, if I will clothe the lilies of the field, how much more will I clothe my children? Saying that you're not going to be lacking in anything that you need, that God is going to take care of you. So I'm asking you this morning, do you believe and are you fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised? Because if you are living in, like I preached 2 weeks ago, into a situation where you think that you've got all the power to do this, you're sorely mistaken. Because you don't have the power to do anything outside of Jesus Christ. God has the power. Abraham, you didn't see Abraham being written about in the scriptures, and they say, well, Abraham just was able to do this by his faith. It says that. But why did Abraham have the faith that he had? Why did he have the assurance of the hope? Because he knew that God had it under control. And so when you sit back, we can credit, and Abraham is in the hall of faith because of his faith. But I'm asking you, how did he get it? How did he get that faith? We talked a little bit about this yesterday morning at the men's breakfast about faith. Butch McAllister brought the message yesterday. I thought it was a fabulous time, as he brought it from a wheelchair. 30 years suffering with leukemia, correct? 25 years he's had leukemia. All kind of health issues outside of that. But yet, the man stated from a wheelchair yesterday morning that God had blessed him more than God had blessed anybody else in the entire world. Now, that is faith. Now, that is being sure of what you hope for. Because, see, many folks, and how did Butch get to that place? Trials. Tribulations, seeing what God had done and seeing what God had brought him through. And I'm telling you, if you look at your life right now, the things that you're going through currently, that's not the first storm you've ever been through, is it? Did God take you out of the last one? Did he deliver you from the last one? Was he there then? If he was there then, he's there today, because he says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm telling you, you got to remember that, because Satan would have you to believe. Satan doesn't want you to have the assurance of that hope. Satan wants you to doubt. Satan wants you to say, well, no, God's not going to deliver you out of this storm. This storm is too big. God is not powerful enough to take you out of this one. And then you begin to slump down and you begin to say, oh, you know what? This situation is different. This situation may be different. Is God different? He is not. And I'm telling you, the same God that by his spoken word created this entire world can stand on the bow of a boat and say, peace be still, and the wind and the waves obey his commands. Now you can stand on the bow of that boat and say, peace be still, and get knocked over by a wave. Get knocked down by the wind. But through Jesus Christ, and that is your hope this morning. If you have something, you need to surrender that to the God that can take care of it. Because as long as you got it, it's in incapable hands. But if you lay it over to him, I'm just asking you. There's a couple little babies that are in here. Maybe those little babies don't have a clue what we're talking about when we know that through some trials that God has brought us out because they hadn't been there yet. But if you are living and you are an adult, you can be 16, 12 today, and God has brought you through something, and that should give you more hope. That should give you more faith. That should strengthen you. I preached a sermon over a year ago, thanking God for our past. You read signs in all these books that say, leave your past behind, erase your past. Well, if you do that, then you're going to lose every ounce of things that God has done for you. So that way you can look back and you can see his hand upon your life. I don't want to erase that. That's the only thing that gives me assurance for tomorrow. Because I look at my Bible and I see throughout human history that God has been doing some amazing things for us. In impossible situations, we've got some folks that here you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fixing to be thrown into the fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter than it normally was. Did their faith waver? They said, burn us up. Do whatever. John talked about Daniel being thrown into the lion's den or den of lions. At the moment they were fixing to hurl him in, he said, stop, wait, wait. No. Why? Because they knew the God that they served. They knew he was more powerful than anything that all of this world had to offer to them. And so my question for myself is, when I'm going through some of these things in life, and I'm going through some of these possible situations, and I begin to get a little bit down and out, and I think, God, I have no earthly idea of what's going on, and I'm beginning to question God, and I'm being so consumed by depression because of things that may be happening in my life. If I'm in that place, I have to ask myself, if I am a child of God, do I know the God that I serve? And that's the question for you this morning. Do you know him? Because if you know the God, the same God that Abraham knew, the same God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew, the same God that Daniel knew, the same God that all of these, the same God that Mary knew as she's sitting there and being told that she's going to bear the Son of God, and she's never had sexual relations in her life, and yet she still said, God, go use me. The same God that the prophets were there. Has he changed? But the faith of his people has. The faith of his people has. Across the board in this room, we could get folks to stand up that are dealing with something that seems like there's just no way you can get over it. And no, you can't. Just the same way you couldn't get salvation for yourself. But I can guarantee you this. You can take this to the bank. It is worth cashing. If you can get to the place, this is a key word right here. So listen to it. Don't let it pass you by. If you can surrender your situation. And I mean surrender, and I mean taking. Oh, I got a dollar. If I can surrender to, I don't really mind that. You can have it. That is faith. And giving that away, it's not mine. It's out of my hands. It's gone. I never even care if I get it back. I really don't. I surrendered that. But you know, what if I had given her 100 though? A little bit harder. I'm constantly looking at that 100 going, I know you got it, Beverly, and you probably will do a lot better with it than I will, but oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. I got to. And then really you reach back up to God, thank you. You really go back up to God because you keep toying with it. And you take it back out of his hand. And you put it in your pocket. And you squander it and you spend it the same way that you would have in the past. I'm asking you, Do you have the faith? Do you have the knowledge to know that your God can handle all of these situations better than you can? And if you know that, then why is it so hard for us to just give it to him? If we know we are not powerful enough and he is, shouldn't it be, and I'm asking myself the same question, shouldn't it be easy to stand above your only son and fix him and stab him? Shouldn't it be easy to say, throw me in the fiery furnace or throw me in the den of lions? Paul, and I want to end with this morning. Not really, because I got one more. But Paul in Philippians 4, and I think this is worthy to note every time you quote the verse in Philippians 4, and this is not on the screens, 10 through 14 says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter. Paul said, it doesn't matter if I don't have a single morsel of food on the table or if I've got an entire buffet. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. That is the faith in which Paul had with his God. And I'm telling you today that we talk about the armor of God and talk about putting on the armor of God. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 is the one that we need to hold on to a lot, because it says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, I'm telling you, your faith and the strength of your faith, because Satan is standing here with the bow. He's shooting them at you every single day. The helmet of salvation, it's going to not kill you. It's going to not kill you, but they can knock you down. But I tell you what, if you stand and you hold the shield of faith up right there, ting, 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 it just extinguishes those fiery flames right there, and they never touch you. Never touch you. You seen them coming. You felt a little bit of the heat, but they didn't pierce into you because you had faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, put that piece on every day. Helmet, got to be there, okay? The belt, the breastplate, the boots, the word, which is the sword, the shield of faith. And it's got to be strong. If you come up there with a little saucer, I mean, that mustard seed does a lot, but I mean, let's get you a little bit bigger one, because I'm telling you, he's not just shooting one arrow at you. And his demons or whoever else it is, I don't know. Satan's all around gallivanting, but they're shooting them and they're bringing you down. But with that shield of faith in the powerful God that we serve, we'll get you a long way. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Father, I thank you so much that we can have assurance in this hope. Father God, when I think about the time that you're going to come and receive us unto you, Father God, I know that it's not just a hope, that I just desire it, Father God, because I do desire it. Father, there are so many people in this room this morning that they desire the time that you come and receive your church, that time that you told us. But Father God, we know it's going to happen because your word tells us that it's going to happen. You told us that you were going to go, and if you were going, you were going to prepare that place for us. And if you went to prepare the place, then you would come again to receive us unto yourself. And God, we claim that. Father, we know it. We don't just hope for it. We have the faith to know the certainty that that is going to happen. And Father, you told us you're going to take care of us. And God, every one of us in this room this morning are going through something. And Father, I ask that you will help us to think about you like you really are, as an all-powerful, all-knowing, and omnipresent God. you were the same way back in the times of the Bible as you are right now. And that, God, we have already been at this altar and we've been praying, Lord, for Miss Wilma. We've been praying for other scenarios that are in this church, Father God. And I ask that you help every one of us, God, that are going through these things. Just remind us, Lord, of how powerful you are, how worthy you are, how capable you are to take care of us if we'll only surrender, if we'll only give it up. God, if there's someone in the sound of my voice this morning that doesn't know you as their risen Savior and Lord, that they'll do that before they leave this place. They'll come down to this altar and they'll just simply say, how can I surrender my life? And God, that someone would meet them down here and be able to tell them, God, we can't save anybody. We can't win any soul, but we can plant a seed and we can water. But you're going to shine down upon them the sun and help it to grow. Father, as we leave this place today, help us to go our separate ways and to be able to take this message out. And that when we say that we hope for something, remind us that we have assurance, not just a desire. And that's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.